You are listening to Growth the Hell Up Podcast, the only podcast that teaches you how to think differently, live differently, and bounce forward, where you create a life better than you've ever imagined.
Woo, y'all. Hey. I told y'all season two is going to be filled with amazing people, amazing topics. Everybody is growthing the hell up. So y'all better stay tuned. Welcome to the podcast. Today, you all, I have an amazing person here to share her story. And you know, it's not that I go and look for unique things. The way the universe works with me, people come to me, I put something out and they say, you know what, that sounds like something I'd want to do. This is an opportunity for me. So you all, I don't even know this story 100%, but I'll tell you one thing. If you've been listening to the podcast long enough, you know that is available for somebody. So this story doesn't hit directly with you, but you know someone who's maybe been through this experience and stuck there, or maybe they just need someone to relate to. Then what I need you to do, as soon as you're done listening, I need you to hit the share. Hit the share, copy the link, and go to messages or messenger or email. You know how to share. If you haven't done it already, I'm going to need you to subscribe. Well, anyway, let's get into it. I, you all, want to welcome this dynamic human that I think I met in 2020 via virtual. And an amazing connection. When I say this person's soul is so sweet, so pure, like literally brought the balance to rooms that I was in where I'm all loud and boisterous. Y'all know how I am. And her soul is just so sweet and calming. And nothing more is greater than a person that can bring balance. So I'm bringing balance right to this podcast stage today with Miss Rue Dura.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Monet.
Yes, tell the people who you are and what you do.
My name's Ruth Duren. I am a life coach. I help immigrant business women stop working harder so that they can create what they want. And I just love everything coaching.
Immigrant business women.
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute. How does one identify as an immigrant businesswoman? Like, what is the words they say? Or maybe I just don't understand. It's because we know that we're not necessarily from, I want to be an immigrant businesswoman. Tell me more about that.
So an immigrant businesswoman is a woman who's moved to another country. She was either born in one country and migrated to another country. And so she is holding part of her original culture and her new culture and trying to build a business and freedom and a life when holding both of them together.
Did I just talk about balance? That balance. Listen, I live in the United States of America. Y'all know this podcast is nationwide. And so I live in the United States of America, and I don't even know the culture here, Lord. So I couldn't imagine moving somewhere and having to pay attention to what's going on in both of those places. But let me tell you, I will, y'all, because I talked to y'all about that before. I'm literally going to be a person that moves to another country. So I might need to meet some Ruth in my life later on, honey, because They might not like my kind, but I'm coming anyway. So Ruth, listen, one of the things that I love about this podcast, it is called Growth the Hell Up. And it is based off the things that, the biggest thing is, we always hear about post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And I truly and honestly believe and know that there are people who does experience that. And then there's people who are stuck in trauma states, or they've notice things were just challenging in their life, and they're kind of like stuck in that space. And so I believe that when those challenges in their life, if they don't create this PTSD thing that they love to rant and rave about, there's a space that they can do this thing called post-traumatic growth. So they can take something that happened and they can utilize that to be the thing to help them see where they want to go and create this life of their dreams. I literally say we create a new story. So can you tell us about your story? Can you tell us about how you know that you were in a space of growing and healing?
So just a little bit of my background. I was born and raised in Kenya. My mother passed away when I was three. I was raised by a Kenyan woman. My father is Kenyan. I moved to the States when I was 18. So I'll just even leaving my tribe, leaving what I knew for my whole life, I experienced a ton of traumas. Some of them are big traumas. Some of them were just, you know, the big T, the little T, but just even being in both, not understanding both cultures, I just experienced a lot of stuff. I also married an African-American man who happens to be a police officer. So a lot of just the different cultures of just I was living in. So I found myself about maybe 6 years ago, just really surviving. Numb. Hair-like trigger. Just really not understanding what is going on. I was the one who you told education is key. I had my bachelor's. I went to back to school after my kids were, you know, older. And like my daughter's probably 10 years old. So I went back to school, got my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. That didn't help me feel better. Got my master's. That didn't help me feel better. And so one day I'm going, what the heck is going on? And so I was listening to, happened to just be listening to a podcast, and the gentleman on the podcast, I don't even know who he was, asked like five questions. And he said, he asked the questions. I said, yes, yes. Some of them was like, oh, hell freaking yes. And he said, well, if you answered yes to at least one of that, you might be a life coach. And I'm like, what the hell is a life coach? And so I Googled and I found this podcast, the Life Coach School. And so I started listening to this woman, and this woman was explaining things that I didn't even know. It's like, wait a minute, I'm feeling this because of this. This is happening to me. And so I started using some of the tools and found the book, Post-Traumatic Growth.
Oh,
and at that time, it made some sense. It was like, oh, fascinating. It makes sense why I'd be triggered so easily. It made sense when this and this would happen. But even at that time, I didn't understand it. And so since becoming a coach, I've reread the book, which then it makes a lot more sense now. But mm-hmm. I felt this desire that there was something different, like just living numb, bottling all my emotions down. Living in grief. So I would just cry.
Yeah.
And how then it was affecting my children. This trauma I had picked up in my life was going affected. I could see it, how it was affecting my children. So I was very motivated, you know, as mamas are, to make a difference in my babies' lives. I say they're babies, they're 25 and 22 and 21. So make a difference in their life because my trauma was affecting them.
Tell me more about that, because I don't know that I've spent a lot of time with any guest or myself talking about where my traumas were affecting the children. Like, was it things that you were seeing in their behaviors, in their schooling, or in their sleeping, in their eating patterns? Like, what kind of stuff?
A lot of in their behaviors, and even just the way that, like, if I would react, just seeing how they would then shut down, just seeing how each different child would react at a certain place where they would be maybe even just vibrant and happy doing something. And then all of a sudden they just like a shut down, not connecting with me. And what I was thinking is, oh, I'm disciplining my children the way mm-hmm. I was disciplined, but not realizing the way I was disciplined affected me. And so I'm affecting my children who don't understand the difference between like my African culture discipline and the American culture discipline mm-hmm. and the systems they were around. And so,
for a second. I have to come in, because when you're talking about being an immigrant and balancing all of these things, Now, I know that I've heard a lot of people talk about immigrant children and their school and the parents talk this way and that way, but I didn't even think about it when it came to the disciplinary. So you having the African culture growing up to 18, the way that your parents raised you or the way that you were disciplined from a Kenyan family, moved here, still living with this household, learning this American culture, and your peers are probably getting disciplined different. Right. And then now you got like all of this and you married someone from here. Honey. Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes. Yes. It was a lot. And I was so thankful for that one podcast I listened to because it introduced me to a different way of seeing it, a different way of understanding things, a different way of even understanding my children. And so helping me heal, help my babies heal. I say babies at 25.
No, old. It's okay. They always are babies. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Helping, always are babies.
Helping them heal and then helping other women do the same, not only for themselves, but also for their children. And so I love to think about, we have an African saying, you educate a woman, you've educated a village. And so you help heal a woman, you've healed generations. And so I'm getting emotional because
for the people in the back, I don't know if they heard y'all because I had to write it down. You educate a woman, you educate a village.
Yes.
And when we think about it, the way that we can touch people these days, you educate a woman, you educate generations.
Yes.
I love that. I love that.
So even just a woman just healing part of her trauma, she's already changed generations. And so it's just been where we met right after the George Floyd thing. And I didn't even understand a different dynamic that was impacting our life. And so fortunately at that time, I was at a very different place in my life that I could have very honest conversations with my children.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, my husband's a police officer. He's a Black man. So even that dynamic.
Yes.
And so just different conversations that we have been able to have. And just this using these concepts, using these healing modalities to heal our trauma has really impacted. And my mother-in-law has moved in with us. And so I also see that other generation being healed because she's not even aware of some of her traumas.
Of course, right? Isn't that interesting? Like being in this space where it's like you see, like your eyes are open to things that you just wouldn't even know had you not been introduced, right? So yes. It was like you found it. You were like, hold up, huh? And then you can see it. And it's not that you want to go out. Well, actually you do want to go out and run up to everybody and help them. We don't do that. You all don't be afraid of us. If you see me in my life coach shirt or trauma coach shirt or sex coach, don't be afraid. We're not going to run up to you, but we can see it. Like we can see those things. And if we're 6 feet, and I like to say, I have a 6 feet rule when it comes to people that I will say things to. And so like, if you're in my home, if you're 6 feet from me and you're in my orbit, meaning that you've been there a few times, if I see something, I'm going to mention it and it's going to come off. You're not even going to know that's what I'm doing because my skills are impeccable, but I'm going to help you identify that something's going on. So with you having her in the house, there's things that she probably just don't even realize because that's the way she was raised. Yeah. Or that's how everybody was. Talk about that. Is that something you hear a lot with your clients? Like, you know, well, that's just how, you know, we were raised, or this is how it is over there. And like, what is the language?
So there are two that are coming to mind. Like one of the cultural misunderstanding when it comes to when you business women, you hear in books or you're taught, take responsibility. However, in a lot of cultures, responsibility is attached with blame and shame and guilt. Like it's attached with somebody has to be at fault. Somebody needs to fix this. And so when you're told take responsibility and your connection is somebody has to be blamed, somebody has to be shamed, somebody is at fault, somebody has to be guilted. It's another dynamic that then you go trying to fix people. You go and you're trying to take that action, which is extra action. You know, us, I'm going to say Black women, where we are the ones who, like, we're the fixers. We're the ones who are taking on more than is our role. And so if we think that that's the part of that taking responsibility, then they're working harder on things that are not even theirs.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I noticed with my, when my mother-in-law moved in, is I jumped into that taking responsibility, fixing, and it's like her medical, her health, her everything. And I'm going, why am I so exhausted? Because I'm taking on things that are not even mine to take on.
So girl, I'm tired thinking about it. I already know what you did.
Yes. And so, so there's the separating of what I'm now calling modern responsibility, which is taking ownership without blame or fault. Taking ownership on what's yours, what's theirs. And like what we teach at the school that we went to is where it's like, which is my model, which is their model, which
yes.
is what can I control? And so the other piece of the two dynamics is also this concept of unconditional love. For the longest time,
that's one of my favorites.
For the longest time, I thought unconditional love was, I love you so much that I'm going to fix it for you and make sure you don't experience pain. Emotions are bad. Emotions are something that we're not supposed to feel. Because I love you unconditionally, I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to protect you from falling. I'm going to make your life easier so you don't feel any kind of pain, any kind of emotion. But that cripples our people.
Yes.
It's like it cripples our children and our, you know, it cripples generations versus what, when then we hear like what, I'm just going to say, like the modern, I call it traditional unconditional love and traditional love. And modern love. In the modern love is, I love you so much, I'm willing for you to fall down, learn how to get back up, because
yes.
I believe in you and your highest power.
Yes.
I trust that it's happening for you.
For
you.
Which
is so very different, which is one where somebody is, it's like, yes, I'm here, I'm guiding you if you need me to, versus the other one is the fixing, doing a lot of things. So that's why I help immigrant businesswomen stop working harder. It's not that working harder in their business or working 50, 60 hours a week. It's like they're working on their life, fixing things and taking on things that's not theirs, trying to heal people that it's not theirs to heal and where they have no control over, versus working on their, where they have their biggest impact, like being the example of what's possible by building a business and creating that money that's going to definitely change lives, yeah. creating opportunities for people like education or businesses for their family. And so those are just two examples of difference. Just it's the same word, but it's a different understanding of that word.
Can we talk about messy?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
So it might not be super messy, y'all, but here's the thing. I want to ask you two parts. So one part is, you mentioned that a lot of immigrant women in their businesses, like they're working hard in their businesses, doing all the things, and then they're going on the other end and trying to keep everybody else's life together while I don't even know if they have lives because they're doing everybody else's stuff. And so the first question is, did you find that that was a part of your story?
Oh, yes. 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 I was in containers with other women who understood a different dynamic of what was happening. And they were not working as hard as I was. And they were creating more results than I was.
Oh.
And so if you watched me all day, wake up at 5, go to bed at 10, I'm busy. I'm doing all the things. And they're doing things, but they're doing things that are what I call income producing activity, creating the results that they want. They're creating, showing people how they can help them when I am fixing it for people. So in, on the outside, it might look you're doing the same activity, but the energy is very different.
Very different.
So it really slowed me down, which then created now this third aspect, which shame in my culture and shame in a lot of cultures is used as a weapon. And so then my dynamic was to shame me.
Oh, honey, you are speaking the truth. Because let me tell you, and this is where that second part comes in. This is the mess. So growing up, the area I lived in Missouri, it wasn't a whole, it was immigrant people, but it wasn't in the neighborhoods that I was in. And then as I became an adult and started to do corporate forever, I would start to get to meet all these different immigrants. So all different backgrounds, right? But there was something about the African people, the people from Kenya, I'm sorry, Kenyans or Ghanaians. Not, we're not going to talk about a whole continent. We're just not doing it today. But there was something different. It's this work ethic that I saw. And then there was all these jokes. No, we know about all these jokes. That's all the incorrectness. And I actually used to envy these people because I didn't have it naturally to want to work like that. But it seemed like they were getting the results. They were getting the jobs that were higher paying. They were doing this. They were having more stores and were more business owners. And, you know, it just seemed like their houses were, it just seemed like their income, the houses, their lifestyle. Plus they had like this culture that I didn't have, you know, being this person in America. And I'm like, I want some of that. I was so envious because what I was being told and what I was seeing with my eyes, but not knowing this dynamic that you're telling me about, some things I didn't see, it was like, I wanted that. Because but I didn't have it naturally. And so me trying to work like that, I was like, they can have it, forget it.
But they also have like, they have the hope. And they also are told, if you want twice as much, you need to work twice as hard. So they're doing the actions. Mm-hmm. But then they get to the house with the garage and the picket fence and the 2.5 kids. And they're miserable inside because they don't understand why they were told get all these things, this material things, but at the expense of, for example, the relationship with their children, not understanding the struggle that their children are having, not understanding the additional dynamic that their children are experiencing. So they're miserable that they have a distant relationship with their children and they don't understand what is it that is creating that. But it's like, this is just how I was raised. We work hard, we get the degrees, we get the things, but using that to think that then I'm going to think and feel something different about myself. But you have the exact same brain. And so then the solution is, well, let me work harder. Let me do more things. Let me achieve more. And then it still doesn't create that internal happiness. And that's where I was. I had what on the outside looked like success. Yeah. Even people would look at me and say, but you have all this. Why are you miserable inside? And it was a misery inside because of the unhealed trauma, because of also the causing the my relationship with myself is where, like, if I'm need to shame myself to take action, or if I need to beat myself up to motivate myself, that gets really like exhausting inside. So yeah, they're sitting there going, I have the American dream, but why am I so miserable? So then some of them, the solution is change the circumstance, go back to Kenya. And then they go back to Kenya. Then they still are like, what is it? But it's this.
Because it's inside. It's like relocating is not going to do it.
No.
Yeah.
It's the inside piece, which is what, fortunately, this work has helped me do.
So amazing.
And so it's like just even that part, like I was so numb, I barely like genuinely enjoyed myself. So yeah, you tell me a joke, I might laugh at the joke, but it's like, I don't feel that joy inside. Now I feel that joy inside, which comes out on the outside, which, you know, when somebody is just genuinely happy, they smile more. It's like when you're, you know, you feel life, you're living, which is that when I was numb, I was on earth, but it wasn't even, I wasn't alive. Like I was, I don't know. It's not.
Well, you listen,
walking
people that feel it, Ruth, the people that feel it, they know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Or have felt it. Mm-hmm. I felt it. Mm-hmm. So I know what you're talking about, right? Like it's really unexplainable, but the people that get the words that happen before you talk about what it really feel like, they know. Mm-hmm. They know what that's like. They know that there's a part of them that feel like it's completely missing. Like it's just inexistent.
Yeah.
And it sucks so bad.
Yes.
Because you know that there could be more, or you see people with more, and you're just like, you genuinely look like you love life. And I don't feel that. You know what you were saying something, you were talking about a lot of immigrants were given this, you have to work hard or twice as hard or to get to achieve. You want to have this success. These are the careers that you go into mm-hmm. in order to be successful. All of those things. Mm-hmm. There's this buzzword, and I don't necessarily love it. We're going to use it because I feel like the audience could relate to this. How does one unlearn that story and that belief that was given to them all their life as they were, you know, growing up?
And one of the things that I do is I don't quite help them unlearn it. I help them decide for themselves what they want. Because it's very different to be a doctor because your dad told you that that's what you won't need to do. And you're miserable being a doctor. That's very different than you choosing you want to be a doctor because you love serving people. You want to help people. It's a very different outcome. And so learning how to choose for yourself, learning to identify what it is for you and having the relationship with the people in your life where they are able to see, this is what I'm choosing for me. Yes. This is what I'm, because then if I'm attached because I was told by my father, because my father went to missionary school and, you know, still under colonialism, was told he had to either be a lawyer, a doctor, engineer, or maybe an accountant. It's like you're told these are the few things you have, so it just narrows your options. So then you keep that concept. And so you tell your children, well, they've gone to school with other children who are told you can do whatever you want to do. Just follow your passion, follow your heart. So it creates that dissonance between the family. But being able to then you decide for you what you're going to do and then help your children decide what they're going to do, which then builds a connection back. And so it's, and back to like the two concepts, the responsibility and the unconditional love, deciding for yourself, seeing what the results are of the current patterns that you were given, and then deciding for yourself, what do you want to do differently?
Yes.
Because it's honestly, it's one of those when somebody sees it's just a difference in culture. I actually just see like the weight lifted in my clients, just lifted. Like, wait a minute, I have a choice. And it's just amazing because then like being a daughter-in-law, like, what is a good daughter-in-law? Is it the African daughter-in-law? Is it the American daughter-in-law? What's a good daughter-in-law? How do you decide?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Listen, the different dynamics, honey.
Mm-hmm. Because then you're like going, well, I'm not my mother. My mother had to be this daughter-in-law. And now you watch your, you know, American friends who have choices with what they can do with their mother and for their mother-in-law and with their mother-in-law, but then choosing. For me,
yes.
What is a good daughter-in-law? How do I want to show up? It might look some of the African upbringing that my mommy told me, you have to. And it can also be some of the American upbringing, but I get to choose. And so my relationship with her is so much different than if I had to, because then it comes with resentment,
yes,
and self-hate and blaming her and, you know, all sorts of stuff. But
or blaming everyone, blaming the African culture, the culture of you had to do it this way. And then her rejecting that because she's like, why aren't you doing it, girl? Gotta kiss my feet, or I'm just making up stuff. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to tell me everything, whatever it is. Like, no, you just get to decide. And you know what's so interesting is I just posted in the season 2 an episode about choice. You know, and if you haven't watched it, listen to that episode, you all go back and listen to that. And then because it really does talk about the big difference in it and why we don't do it, like why we don't understand that choice is the best thing for us. Yeah. You know, like people just really don't get it. And so Ruth, I want to get us up to a wrapping up point. And so I love that we got to this point about choice because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. And being that you were raised with a Kenyan family, and what was your background prior to life coaching? What did you do?
I was an accountant. I know.
You know, I didn't mean to laugh in your face, but I did. Yes, I did. I did mean to, because that's perfect, right? That's perfect to what you were saying. And so you were an accountant, and then you stumbled upon this podcast. And you were like, oh my goodness. And then you start applying things to your life. You started seeing your own life change. You started seeing your household change. You started seeing the way that you were with others changing. Like you're just getting this joy in you. And now you decide, I want to do this thing too. And we're talking about choice. And we're talking about a family who has told you all your life that this is what you got to do to get the, you know, the success. And now you're telling them that you're going to be this life coach. How did they take that?
The interesting part about it is as I was doing the work,
okay,
as I was actually implementing the life to feel better inside.
Yes.
Once you are feeling better inside, how you approach people, how you approach life is very different.
Yes.
I had been in our community for only 2 weeks and I went back to work and my boss stopped me and said, what has happened to you?
Shut the front door.
I swear. I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? She said, you're just so much happier. You're just, the energy is so much more amazing. So for me, it's like she supported me being in this group. And then my husband, he's the one who came to me and said, what do we need to do to make you a life coach? And I'm like happy as a clam, just my life changing, my experiences changing, my relationships changing, my enjoyment of life just changing, and me going, well, I'll tell him how much it is. And he'll back up. And he was like, we're making it happen.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
It's just that as I grow and evolve and heal my traumas from within, people outside me have just been impacted. And so it's the support. So like the people who were very attached to me and my degrees don't even bring it up, because just even the way I enhance their life, because my life has been enhanced, they're just like all supportive. It's, I have yet to have a family member not support me.
That's amazing. Like, no, really. I love that for you, especially when I'm talking about this immigrant background thing, because it might be different for me in this American culture where we actually, at this point, we are encouraged to change our career several times. Like, we don't have to first off, don't stay in one company till you die. Don't do that. That's crazy. That's old ways of thinking. Definitely, if you feel like changing your career after 10, 15 years, just go switch your careers. Like, we get encouraged to do that. But I know that in some other areas, that's not the case.
Yes.
And so it may be coming around to it. Is that are you seeing any?
I think for some of them, it is that uncomfortable conversations that need to be had. Mm-hmm. And I've had some clients who've had to have that conversation, but it's identifying what is it, for example, if it's their husband who's still stuck in the the title and the job and the income. How do you have a conversation? What is it that he needs to see? And what is it that you can create so that you have that middle place together? So it's just like if a client was wanting to be coached on whether they should leave their career, the first question is, what is it that you need from you to be able to make that decision? And so it's the same thing with the people around them. What does he need from you? And how do you, can you meet that? Both of you have a want match, so you are supporting each other. So it's just those have different conversations that when you are, for example, living off these rules that you're not even aware you have this rule and there's tons of resentment, you're going, well, my American friend just left her job and her husband supports me. You should support me. Versus that, what is it that he needs? What is it that they want to have? And maybe even just creating expectations or boundaries of what is required for everybody to support each other. But it's just back to that. Once you are clear, just like even with marketing your business, the clearer you are, the clearer you can speak to your people. So the clearer you are inside you in what you want and how it will benefit everybody else around you, the less words you end up using.
So good, Ruth. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, being a guest, dropping some knowledge, you all. I know you know somebody. Y'all better share this with someone. But Ruth, tell the people on the Growth to Hell Up podcast, Airways, how can they get in contact with you? How can they find you? How can they work with you?
So the first place you can find me is on my website, ruthduran.com. And so I have different ways of you can reach me from there, or you can also go to my Linktree, where I have my Facebook link, my Instagram link, and you can follow me on there as well. And so I just work with women. You can schedule a consultation if that's something that you're interested in, or just follow me and get additional information.
Awesome. 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 Any last words, any gems you just want to just like drop? Because my gems, that's what we call the people that follow my podcast, gems. They love knowledge and they love to come back and listen to these podcasts over and over again. That's just one of the things that they do. So any last thing that you need to just drop on them?
So for me, the one that's coming up is that sometimes we think that freedom, like that internal, that freedom will be out there. Like that's the back to, if I get those degrees, I'll have freedom. If I get that income, I'll have freedom. If I get that something happens, I'll have freedom. Or even just going to another country, like immigrating to another country, because you're going, there'll be more freedom. The real freedom happens when we free ourselves from things like our trauma, when we heal ourselves from things that are like the rules that we don't even know we're still carrying around with ourselves. And so we free ourselves from within, which creates that freedom that just is outside there. Just living your free life and enjoying your life, because you freed yourself from within.
Ooh, y'all, let's just say that Miss Ruth Payne got it, brought it. If you are an immigrant businesswoman here in the United States or abroad, please reach out to Miss Ruth. Of course, you know that I'm going to leave her information in the show notes so that you can have the links. Just click the link and get right in contact with her. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. If you are a person, gym, if you are the gym that's like, I think I should try, just get on a call. Just at least talk to her. See what it is that she can help you with. If you had just anything that she said, just one thing, just anything spoke to you, you click get on that call if you're an immigrant businesswoman. Now, if you're a person that is in any of those other situations, that's not identifying as an immigrant person, and you know that you are struggling with something that society told you had to do, your parents had told you had to do, you really just want to make the power of the choice to do it on your own, and you're just not sure how you walk that out. I do, y'all. I walk people through things. I am Monet Marcia, your post-traumatic growth coach, okay? Trauma and sex coach, I walk along you. I walk alongside you. I walk with you to get you to the point where you are creating freedom and living the life on your terms of your dreams. Yes, yes. So until next time, Gems, let's fucking grow.